Thanks for staying with us on this Friday morning. You want to be in touch? You text me 251-343-0106, and I'll do my best to respond to your text messages. Joining us now on the line, she represents Shelby County, parts of Shelby County up in central Alabama, our friend, State Representative Susan DuBose. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Jeff. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Hey, thanks for coming on. Well, I guess we'll start here. First off, trip up to D.C. I saw you in Washington. They had a big rollout of the Women's Republican Caucus. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, that was so much fun. I just got home last night, but I got a call from Trump Government Affairs, and they asked me to come out for a reception for Women's History Month. And let me tell you, the event was so nice. We were probably at the White House for 3.5 hours, military bands playing, champagne flowing, great food, women from all over the country, and got to hear from Trump. And we thought it was just Women's History Month celebration. And then, surprise, he announces about the Women Republican Caucus and names our own Senator Katie Britt as co-chairman. So Katie spoke to the group, got to spend some time with Katie. It was really exceeded my expectations and just very impressive. Everything Team Trump does is first class. And it's all about making it enjoyable for the guests, not just promoting Trump, but we all really, really had a good time and got to network with women leaders throughout the country.
Well, it's also this. I mean, it's you know, the left is trying to blur the lines of genders or sex, sexual preference or whatever they want to call it. And like these gestures to say, no, these are women and these are men. You see more of that from this administration.
Oh, he means what he says. He puts his money where his mouth is. And look, we all know there's just two sexes, man and woman. We're not afraid to say it anymore. You don't have to say it in the dark. Say it in the light. 80% of America agrees with this on both sides of the aisle. It's an 80-20 issue. Democrat Party is missing out. And hey, good for them. It's good for us. But the fact of the matter is he's double downing on all of this. And women care about more than just women's issues. It used to be abortion was the women issue. That's the joke of a lifetime. Women care about everything, all issues, you know, from education to workforce development. We care about all issues. And I can see this Republican caucus, women's caucus, being very engaged and involved. And who knows, Alabama may come up with a Republican women's caucus before it's over with.
Well, and we'll keep an eye out for that. Let's talk about your bill here. And I've kind of butchered my explanation, but I know it's a big priority for you, offering allowing for public schools in this state to offer some kind of religious teaching, and not necessarily a Bible study or anything, but just an exposure or something like that. To I think to offer a better understanding, you know, the problem now is a lot of these school systems are a little gun shy about doing some of this. I guess they fear lawsuits from like Freedom From Religion or whatever.
Well, look, those are just scare tactics that certain individuals want to keep freedom of religion out of our schools. And what we're talking about, this it's religious release time. So this has been upheld by the Supreme Court. It's constitutional since 1952, and it allows private faith-based religious entities to come and offer religious training off-site. No public funds used. Parents authorize it. The faith-based entity accepts liability. So there's a lot that has to go into it. But it's just, I look at it as a parent's choice issue. If they would like their child to have moral training, if they want them to have faith-based training, it's going to be off-site. It doesn't cost the school system a penny of money. It's, you know, school education is changing. This is kind of allowing for a tailor-made opportunity. If a parent decides, I want my child to have faith-based moral training off-campus, not paid for by the school, that's going to be transportation provided by the faith-based entity, let's let them have that opportunity. It's not hurting anybody. School boards make their own policy. Totally. They decide when it can be taught, where it can be taught, if it can be taught. In Shelby County, where I live, they do it at Spain Park High School. It's eighth period of the day, and the kids either walk or drive to a nearby church. Eighth period is an elective period where they do, you know, it's clubs. You know, if you're football, cheerleading, National Honor Society, all that stuff takes place eighth period. So any of these classes have to be during an elective time. It cannot take the place of a core class. And, you know, you may or may not get credit for it. The school would have to review the curriculum, decide if it's, you know, if there's content worthy of credit, electoral credit, they can allow that to happen, but they don't have to. It's really a school choice issue. It's a freedom of religion. It's open to all religions. You know, you hear these scare tactics. Oh, the Satanic Temple is going to come in and we're going to have Satanic Temple training. Well, that's fear mongering put out there by people who don't believe in freedom of religion. It's not going to happen because of all the hoops you have to jump through, first of all, to be able to even set this up, transportation, liability insurance, all these things. Parents have to agree to have their child participate. And, you know, these groups, atheists, satanic groups, they're really philosophical groups. They're not even religions anyway. So I don't think it would qualify under the Religious Release Act. But, you know, if you believe in freedom of religion and you believe in freedom of choice, then you're in favor of this bill. And believe it or not, it's getting a little bit of pushback. To me, it's an obvious red meat conservative issue, but we have some folks out there, different government affairs agencies, that just don't understand the bill, and they're sending out some misinformation.
Well, what I find, I mean, I think there's value in it. I mean, you know, especially if you take just Christianity as a topic on its own and not necessarily,
The historic value, yeah. Studying the Bible as a history is a part of our foundation.
Well, our civilization, you know, is predicated largely on Christianity, and that needs to be, like, people don't understand that. There's sort of a reluctance to talk about it that way because of the fear you just brought up.
This is just not for Christians. This can be for Jewish families. This is freedom of religion. And in some pockets of our state where there are a lot of Jewish families, middle school ages, those kids have to go through a lot of training because they're about to have their bar mitzvahs. There's a lot of studying involved in that. I mean, this could help them prepare for that time in their life when they're, you know, going to that next stage, you know, of faith in the Jewish religion. So, look, I believe in freedom of religion, and I'm not scared of freedom of religion. So I'm for offering this. And remember, it's off campus. It's not public money, and parents have to agree to it. So let's just give the parents the option. No harm done, honestly.
Well, and let's take it a step further. And, you know, you look at, like, higher ed, they have these offerings. It's like not necessarily getting credit for it toward graduation or whatever, but they do have, you know, you do have to be affiliated in some cases with the university and make the administration aware that you're organizing on campus. But that's not an endorsement of religion. It's not an endorsement.
Not at all.
Yeah. So
not at all.
To me, you look at it, maybe there's value in doing it from a scholastic standpoint, you know, but also we kind of do this already in higher ed.
We do it in a lot of different areas. And, you know, parents have their kids leave school for all sorts of different types of training. A lot of the times it's athletic or who knows what it is. But this is just an opportunity. And look, people say, well, why do we need it? Why? Because my legislation changes. You may have a policy to you shall have a policy. Because of all the over 120 school districts in our state, we only have 12 school districts that have actually implemented a policy since 2019 when the law first went into effect. We have 4,000 signatures from parents in over 100 districts that want this in their schools, and the policy's not available. So this law, what I'm working on here, just says the school districts shall implement a policy. They decide the policy. And then it's there for the parents that want to participate, and we know they're out there. And, I mean, we had a situation in Gulf Shores where the Gulf Shores Baptist Church had gone to talked to a superintendent. They had prepared a curriculum for a religious release program. They were going to meet all the guidelines, provide transportation, take liability, get parent authorization. And it looked like it was going to happen in Gulf Shores. And then all of a sudden, it got pulled. We don't know why, but, you know, that's an example of how sometimes it's difficult, as the law reads now, to get these policies implemented.
Joined by State Representative Susan DuBose here on the program. Yeah, you mentioned the pushback, and, you know, I could see where some of these bureaucrats just don't want to deal with the hassle. They don't see the value or whatever.
That's right. And that's what it is. And that's what I need. I need help from parents and say, hey, we want this opportunity. We call your state representatives, call your state senators, talk to your school board folks, let them know you would like this opportunity, just a chance to participate if it fits within your child's schedule. And yeah, superintendents and school board members, I think, have been scared off by misinformation, by people that are just uninformed, thinking they're going to be forced to do something 6 hours a week. I mean, school boards have their own, they have leeway. The maximum number of hours that can be offered is 6 a week. We see mostly 1 hour a week, and it's during a library time or lunch time or music time or band time or specials or extras. And, you know, there's some, we have it in intermediate school. And again, in my area in Shelby County, it's in Oak Mountain Intermediate, and that's elementary level, and they don't do it in third grade. It's only fourth grade and up, because they want kindergarten through third grade to be focusing on literacy. And that's fair. I get that, because we're really, really pushing kids being able to be reading proficiently by third grade. So they're going to focus on this to give this opportunity fourth grade and up. So that's just an example of the leeway that individual school systems have to tailor fit it to their school needs and their parents' needs.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's only if the school's able to, I guess there would be, what would you say to that? Like, okay, so you get this law in place and we can't afford it or whatever, but
there's no cost to the schools. It doesn't cost them a penny. The outside entity pays for the transportation, pays for the curriculum. So it doesn't cost the school any money. It doesn't take any administrative time whatsoever. All they have to do is work with the parents and the non-profit faith-based entity to figure out when it would work. Hoover School System said, we just want it in our high schools, eighth period. That's what worked for them. And so that's all they have. They said, now if that becomes successful, we like it, then we'll look at moving it to other grade levels. But that's where they started. So each school system is going to have to look for what works within the system. The other thing is, if you're you're in a rural area and you have a population of kids that are maybe in a lower socioeconomic situation, these kids may not have an opportunity to go to church on Wednesday night or Sunday morning because they don't have transportation. Maybe their parents are working. Maybe they're a one-car family or a no-car family. This provides an opportunity for those kids with parental permission to have a religious faith-based opportunity during the school week. So it really provides more opportunities for families.
What is what's the mood sort of in the chamber about this?
Look, I had no problem getting co-sponsors on this. I didn't work super hard on it. I just went around and told people about it. I said, yeah, I'm in. I got it. I like it. I like it a lot. What's happening in our committee is some of these lobbyists, for example, that are with school boards or superintendents, get in the ear of the committee members, and they don't understand the bill well enough to inform them properly. And they kind of scare them. They say, oh, this is going to be a problem. You know, we're going to be forced. We don't like being forced to do anything, without saying, look, you're not being forced to do anything, but come up with your own policy that meets your school schedule. We do that all the time. We're about to come out with a cell phone bill that says you will have a cell phone bill policy that, you know, fits within these parameters. I mean, that's what we do as legislators. So, you know, why there's any pushback on this conservative red meat issue is beyond me, except I can only assume people just don't understand it.
Lastly, and we'll get you out of here on this, and this is kind of tangential to all this, the Alabama Public Library Service made some moves last week. Any reaction to that?
Long time coming. Good job, APLS board. I've been involved in this since ground zero when I first said that our state needs to disaffiliate from the American Library Association, and we've looked further and further. You know, Dr. Pratt is no longer the head of the APLS board. She knew that was coming. She told me 2 years ago she didn't think she was going to be able to be, she thought she was going to be let go 2 years ago. So she's been around a lot longer than she anticipated. She really has done everything she can to spread misinformation to our local libraries, to confuse issues. And this is a long time coming. We need leadership that's going to support the governor, that's going to support our APLS guidelines, that's going to work with our local public libraries, properly inform them, and we have not had that. So good news, APLS.
State Representative Susan DuBose, ladies and gentlemen. Representative, thanks for making time.
Thanks, Jeff. Talk to you soon.
All right, Susan DuBose there. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
But honey, now I